Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
So the government in the UK have published their battle plan for responding to a major outbreak of the coronavirus in the UK. Britons could be forced to put their lives on hold for 3 months, and the plan could see troops on the streets, police ignoring minor crime, and patients turfed out of hospitals amid warning that 1 in 5 workers could go sick. Who do we believe about the coronavirus epidemic, which is currently plaguing the world? Well, a man who's always questioned what we are told and what we are supposed to believe is our next guest. And many of the things he's said over the years make more and more sense for those of us with open minds. So if you have an open mind, listen to this and make your own mind up. And you always have an off button if you don't want to listen to it. But joining us now is David Icke. Good morning, David.
Good morning, Bill.
An Isle of Wight show today. We've got me, you've got you, and we've got Rupert Brown on the Isle of Wight later. Fantastic.
Oh, lovely.
Good to hear you. And I watched an interview with you the other day, and I just thought, I've got to get you on, because the coronavirus thing, it's... Well, I'm part of the media, so I guess we're part of the problem, but the media, it's all over the media, as we know, and who do we believe? And what you said in the interview that I watched made a lot of sense to me. So I thought we'd get you on just to discuss the current situation. And you, for years, have had this expression... which is problem, reaction, solution. And I think this is a brilliant example of it.
Well, who should people believe about the coronavirus or anything else? They should believe themselves. Yeah. They should be looking at the evidence dispassionately and seeing where the evidence takes them. What they shouldn't be doing is taking the official story and believing it. Yeah. I've spent 30 years unraveling and dismantling official stories, and the scale of deceit and mendacity is absolutely extraordinary. Yeah. And I have this phrase, know the outcome and you'll see the journey.
Yeah.
If you uncover, as I have over 30 years, what the planned outcome for humanity is, and where and why the world is being directed in particular direction that it's been going very clearly, then if you know the outcome that is planned, you can see the journey day after day with changes in society that very clearly are stepping stones, what I call the totalitarian tiptoe, towards that outcome.
Yeah.
If you don't know the outcome, then world events every day become random and bewildering. Mm. Why is this happening? Why is that happening? And so you have the media who will have a story on page 3, and they'll have a story on page 7, a story on page 8, and they will be presented as in and of themselves events and circumstances. When you connect the dots, you realize that those three stories are not operating in isolation. They are actually connected to a particular end. So what I've been uncovering and writing about all these decades is a plan, this is the outcome, for a global Orwellian fascistic state run by a world government, a technocracy actually run by technocrats. This is why Silicon Valley is getting more and more power than governments, that would dictate to every community.
Yep.
They want a, what I call it, the Hunger Games society, clearly using the symbolism of the Hunger Games movie series, where you have the tiny few at the top. We already have a name for them now, the 1%. Actually, it's the less than 1%, the real power. At the bottom is the rest of humanity in a incredibly controlled situation, not least controlled through technology and AI, which is where it's all going. I mean, this is not me saying it today. I've been saying it for years and years and years as this was coming. And in the middle, you have a vicious, merciless police state, actually a police military state in the end, which imposes the will of the 1% upon the rest of the population. Now, if you're going to bring that about, you can't just introduce it, unless you're in China, then you can, because you have the power, because it's a dictatorship. But in the West, where you have to pay some kind of lip service to freedom and fairness and democracy, you have to have a reason. You have to justify it so that people will accept it, even though they don't like it, because, hey, some things must be done. Mm-hmm. And this is where what you've mentioned, the phrase I came up with in the 90s, problem, reaction, solution, comes in. This is a simple technique whereby you, the authority, or at least that which controls authority from the shadows, create a problem. This could be a virus, it could be an economic collapse, it could be a war, a terrorist attack. It's a problem. And then you tell the public the version of that problem you want them to believe. Mm-hmm. And I worked in the media, mainstream media, for a very long time. I know how it works. Basically, the official story is announced by authority of what this problem is all about, where it came from, who was responsible for it, or what. And basically, the media overwhelmingly reports that official story narrative as if it's the actually what happened and what the truth is. And what they're looking for at stage two is a reaction from the public, a reaction of fear, of outrage, depending on what the problem is. And part of that outrage is that which has covertly created the problem blames someone else for it. Mm-hmm. And then you go to the sting. You go to the final stage where, as a result of the problem and the public reaction do something, you then offer openly, you have covertly created the problem, the solution to the problem you've created. And there's another version, Bill, which I call no problem reaction solution, where you don't need a real problem, you just need the public perception of one.
Right.
Weapons of mass destruction in Iraq is a classic.
Yeah.
That they knew they weren't there, but they sold the perception that they were to justify what was a catastrophic invasion that is still reverberating in its consequences. So when you pull all this together, Bill, a virus outbreak, a quote global pandemic, ticks every box for you. Mm-hmm. And when we're trying to understand what's happening and why and where it came from, we need to put this in the mix. Look at what's happening. Look at what happened, first of all, in China. I mean, China is a vicious dictatorship, but went to still new lengths of imposition after the virus broke out, justified by protecting people against the virus. And now, as you mentioned, the announcement yesterday by the UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson and about possible plans, you've seen things happening around the world already, and this is supposed to become far bigger, we are told, than it is already. Opportunities justified by the problem of the virus to actually impose tremendous state control on the population. And what you have, because in the end, this whole conspiracy is a psychological game. There's getting on for 8 billion people in the world, so you're not going to control them, not yet anyway. They want to do that via AI, but you're not going to do that physically. You have to control their perception. And one of the great ways that people are manipulated is fear of death which is another version of this innate fear that humans seem to have, fear of the unknown. And this means that not only will you be able to use this virus to impose more and more draconian control, you're going to get much of the population to demand that you do it because we need to do anything, just protect us.
Yeah.
And so we need to put all these things in the mix if we're going to be streetwise and not just accept the official narrative. I'm not coming out here, I'm not saying this happened, that happened, that happened, and this is what it's all about. I'm saying this needs to be put into the mix because it's starting day by day since I did that interview to come to fruition.
China, interestingly, of course, as you said, they're kind of the blueprint for authoritarianism, but they're being praised for that now.
Exactly. What you have is, and I've been saying this for decades, if you want to know what the plan is for the West tomorrow, increasingly not even tomorrow, then look at China today. See, what you've got is a regime which has so much military-imposed power. What is China but that Hunger Games society I've just described? And because they don't have to in any way bring the public with them, they just impose it. And so now you've got an incredibly authoritarian society there, which is the blueprint for the West. This is why all these so-called woke, progressive values, yeah, what a joke, Silicon Valley corporations are so in bed with China. Because if you look at China now, the number of face recognition cameras they have is just extraordinary in every city. They can find anyone in literally minutes. There's been programs on television that have shown them doing it because they're kind of boasting about it. There is a situation there called a social credit system. This is planned for the West, have no doubt, if we don't wake up fast, whereby if you behave, and of course you are constantly tracked in this way, if you behave in ways that are suitable to the state, you are given credits, social credits. If you don't, then those credits are taken away. And when you fall to a certain level of negative credits, you get banned from flying. You get banned from going on the train. I mean, millions this has happened to already.
Yeah.
What has happened as a result of this virus, like I say, is that even that level of state imposition and tyranny has been eclipsed by justifying protecting the people from this virus. And the same things are now starting to seep out in the West. We must do this, we must do that, we must do the other. Like I say, a virus is, or an illness, a disease of any kind, a pandemic, is a perfect problem, reaction, solution scenario. And we shouldn't forget either that there are some amazing coincidences, Bill, in relation to this.
Yes.
6 weeks before the coronavirus broke out in China, we had a simulation of how the world would react to a coronavirus outbreak 6 weeks before, run by the World Economic Forum, which has this fest, billionaire fest in Davos every year, one of the great promoters of Greta Thunberg and the climate change caused by humans hoax, which again is the justification for massive centralization of power to save the world, which doesn't actually need saving if you look at the evidence with real scientists who are kept out of the mainstream. So this World Economic Forum, where Bill Gates is a big player, and just by coincidence, nothing to worry about, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation ran this simulation in which they looked at how they would respond to a coronavirus outbreak. And in this simulation, they were talking about how they would have to control information so that anyone who was really challenging the official narrative of it would have to be shut down. They would have to, and they would do this via Silicon Valley, the technocrats, and that they would have to target what they call anti-vaxxers. Because if you look at the background to Bill Gates, a man I wouldn't trust to tell me the time in a room full of clocks, by the way, he is absolutely obsessed with vaccinating the world with anything that moves. And when I was doing that interview that you saw, I made the point, watch the vaccine, because you have a situation where you have this virus, and the punchline is, we've got a vaccine, everyone must be vaccinated. And then you've got the people that don't want to be vaccinated. They will be attacked by those that think everyone must be vaccinated. And the question is, what's in the vaccination? Now, within hours of me recording that interview, Israeli scientists came out and said that they were within a very short time of coming out with a coronavirus vaccine.
Yes.
And they said, the government announced this, the government of Israel, and for coronavirus. Wow, you've worked quick. Well, actually, no, because as I said in that interview, I would be staggered if the vaccine is not already in place, waiting to be played out, once people have been frightened enough to demand it and be desperate for it. What we had was the scientists in Israel that said they've developed this, or very close to developing this vaccine for human use, had been doing so for some time. Because they'd chosen coronavirus, sits back in amazement, can't believe it, as the virus that they would work on to show that their technology works. And as one of the scientists said, it was just pure luck. I would actually question that personally, because I do have a mind of my own. So you can see that in all these different areas that the dots kind of connect, or at least demand fundamental questions. And then we have another big coincidence in that Wuhan, where this virus is said to have begun, the outbreak begun, is the home to China's BSL-4 laboratory, which stands for Biosafety Level 4.
Mm-hmm.
And I have here the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services definition of a Biosafety Level 4 laboratory. The levels, 1, 2, 3, 4, relate to how fierce and effective are the containment safety measures in these labs.
Right.
So bio level 4 means it's a seriously contained lab, or supposed to be. Why? Because of what it's working with. This is what the Department of Health and Human Services says. Biosafety level 4, BSL-4, is the highest level of biosafety precautions and is appropriate for work with agents that could easily be aerosol transmitted within the laboratory and cause severe to fatal disease in humans for which there is no available vaccines or treatments. And it's overseen by the World Health Organization, which would have to know what basically goes on there. America's got loads of these labs. Now, according to Francis Boyle, is professor of international law at the University of Illinois. He was the man who drafted in 1989 the U.S. Biological Weapons Anti-Terrorist Act, which passed by both sides of the House unanimously. He's come out and said a number of things. First of all, that these biosafety level 4 labs are only in existence to develop bioweapons. They're not there for any level of medical research. They're only there to develop bioweapons. His view is, by accident or design, that this virus came out of that Wuhan laboratory. He's been talking about the fact that he's read papers on this virus that have looked into it. And he says it has, according to these papers, something called gain of function.
Mm-hmm.
And gain of function means that it's been genetically engineered to be far more dangerous than it would otherwise be. So again, that's a massive coincidence that the one biosafety level 4 lab in China is in Wuhan, where this thing was supposed to have started, and absolutely did not start in the wet market. This is now widely accepted because so many of the early people that got the virus had no connection to that wet market in Wuhan at all. So this is where we're at, and all these things, Bill, need to be put in the mix before we and the individual we come to conclusions about what's going on here.
The reaction part of your problem, reaction, solution, and the reaction right now is, I've never seen reaction like it in terms of the public, in terms of the media profile. SARS, we didn't have this kind of mass panic, and MERS, we didn't have this kind of mass panic. It's working rather well, the reaction part for this, given you know, there's a mass level of hysteria versus the numbers of people who are actually dying.
Yeah, I mean, in one year, something like, what was it, tens and tens of thousands of Americans died in the flu season in America. Tens and tens of thousands, and thousands and thousands, well beyond anything we've seen so far from the coronavirus, die from flu in America alone every winter. Where this coronavirus will go, you know, of course, we don't know. But what you've just described suggests to me that in terms of problem, reaction, solution, this could at least be a step up towards the real deal. Because you rightly point out, we've had the SARS, we've had the Ebola, etc. And it was like, oh, panic, panic, panic. And then it kind of drifted away.
Yeah.
This is different. The ante's been upped. And I think it, and that's another area too, which is, again, should go into the equation, is that what I've been pointing out, particularly since 2008 and the financial crash, is that this cabal, what I call the global cult that operates in every country above governments and manipulates governments, they are planning, as I've been saying since 2008, a massive economic crash, because what they want, problem, reaction, solution, is a completely new economic order and economic system,
yeah,
not least one that would be completely globally cashless. And they're even using the coronavirus now, the World Health Organization, which is owned by this cult, to demonize money, saying, oh, you know, don't use cash because it could pass on the virus. I was saying in the early 1990s that in the books that, you know, they're going for the cashless society, which is a control system. You know, at the moment, if you go into a store and you hand over cash or hand over a credit card, let's say that, and the computer won't accept your credit card, well, you can still pay cash. But when there is no cash and there's only digital money, when the computer says no, how are you going to purchase? There's no way you can. This is what it's all about, control. So what we're seeing now is the effect on the economic situation in the world, not least because the major corporations around the world, not least in America, have spent decades handing all their production, major production, to China. So if China gets in trouble in terms of producing those goods, then there is a supply chain problem.
Yeah.
And how many people would believe the stupidity? It's not actually stupidity at the level of this cult. It's calculated design. 80% of American antibiotics come from China. Something like 90% of ingredients for American drugs come from China.
Wow.
I mean, you know, the power that's been given to China, which is supposed to be an enemy of the West, is absolutely extraordinary. And you have, of course, the climate change hoax, which is also promoted by the World Economic Forum 1%. And you have people like Prince Charles going along to this year's fest, along with yet again Greta Thunberg, and calling for a complete new economic order to save the world from climate change. And so you see these constant themes of we must have a new economic order. This new economic order is what I've been warning about for the best part of 30 years. Coronavirus and the human-caused climate change hoax, in which they're demonizing the gas of life, carbon dioxide, without which we'd all be dead, actually have incredibly similar solutions to their different problems.
The World Health Organization are supposed to be there to let us know what's going on in the world and take care of public health, although I believe that the man whose name is unpronounceable, apart from the Tedros bit, has an interesting background, who's the Director General.
Yeah, the World Health Organization, I was writing about the background to this way back in the 1990s. The World Health Organization, like the World Trade Organization, are bodies that this cult created, I name the, in the books the people that created them, to focus global power over different areas of human life, health and trade in these cases, under one roof. And so you've got the World Health Organization, which is supposed to be the arbiter of health policy in the world, but it's incredibly corrupt. I was watching an item on an American TV show, one of the few American TV journalists left, called Tucker Carlson, who was exposing the staggering levels of corruption of the World Health Organization. And it's currently headed by, you rightly say, a guy called Tedros, who was health minister in Ethiopia and a Politburo member of the Marxist regime that's been running the country for a long time. And he was exposed in Ethiopia as health minister for covering up cholera epidemics. Just the guy you want as head of the World Health Organization. And one of the first things he did when he became Director General was to name Robert Mugabe, the mass murderer of a dictator of Zimbabwe, as a World Health Organization goodwill ambassador for public health.
Yeah.
Well, unless you cross Mugabe, that is. And that was so outrageous that he had to pretty quickly withdraw that. But that's the kind of mentality you're talking about. See, this is the point. World Health Organization, the World Trade Organization, the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change run through the UN, these are not scientific, medical organizations, really, in terms of free trade organizations. They are political organizations that are advancing a particular agenda, which the one I've been exposing for 30 years. So the World Trade Organization controls the trade situation for this global cult. World Health Organization controls health policy. The Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change sells the ludicrous, and it is when you look at the evidence, I can't tell you, the ludicrous narrative about the gas of life, carbon dioxide, causing catastrophic climate change. It's ridiculous. And the point is, Bill, that when you break this down and you go deeper and deeper in the rabbit hole from the climate change narrative, the coronavirus narrative, the free trade narrative, you find the same people. The same people, the same 1%. And what you have is a vast swathe of entire young generations who say they are against billionaires and against privilege, who are being played like a stringed instrument by the very people they rail against to demand political correctness, which is just getting the population to silence itself, and human-caused climate change. And what happens? What is political correctness? It's the end of free speech. What is a human-caused climate change if you believe it? It's centralization of global power to save the world. Same with this coronavirus, centralized power and dictate to the population to protect the population. This is how it works, and the same people are involved everywhere you look. It's extraordinary. And makes sense of the world.
Where do we go from here, David? You've been saying this kind of stuff for years, and you've been variously called, you know, a nutcase and all the rest of it, conspiracy theorists. For people who are kind of just members of the public who really have no voice, what can they actually do about this situation that you say exists?
Well, first of all, this is another part of the whole thing. Conspiracy theorist and conspiracy theory came into widespread use thanks to the CIA, provable fact. They sent documents to the major media organizations in America in the 1960s, 1967, urging them to use the terms conspiracy theory and conspiracy theorist to discredit those people who weren't buying the official story of the Kennedy assassination and other assassinations in that period. So that's where it came from. And now you have the media. Anyone that questions the official narrative is suddenly a conspiracy theorist. Yeah. They have no idea. They're repeating a CIA discrediting term, but they are, because they don't do any research. They just watch the newsroom telly and read the morning papers. They call it journalism. What is a conspiracy theory? Well, what are conspiracy theorists in this ludicrous term? They are people that start from the premise that the governments lie to us. Mm-hmm. And what you do is when government or authority says this is the situation, you don't just accept it, you check it out. Yeah. If it stands up, fair enough. Sometimes it does. Overwhelmingly, it doesn't. And the first thing of what we can do is we have to stop believing these official narratives, and we have to get informed about what this agenda for the world is, because I can tell you it's incredibly sinister. That's why I get up in the morning at 5:30, sometimes 4 o'clock, and I'm going all day, every day, 7 days a week, because I know what's planned and where it's going. We have to start to realize that there is nothing more important than addressing this. Because if people think that tyranny is an imposition and destruction of basic freedoms is bad now, what's it going to be like for your kids and your grandkids?
Absolutely.
It's going to be undescribable where this is planned to go. Because where in the end it's planned to go, and I'm not just pulling this out of the ether, I'm quoting Silicon Valley crazies who are very influential, like Ray Kurzweil, the Google executive. Yep. Who is saying that by 2030, the human brain will start to be connected to AI. And this is the end game. This is what all the smart technology is about, what all everything today that comes out, whether it's a way of doing things or a technology, is called smart. Why? Because all these smart devices and smart ways of doing things are all part of an emerging smart grid. The emergence of 5G is absolute, without any testing for human consequences. That's being rolled out because this smart grid, which includes connecting the human brain to AI, needs at least 5G level of communicative power to function. We're watching our prison, technological prison, being built all around us, and all the more problems that they can frighten people with, the more excuses they have to go on building this grid. You've got a situation with the climate change hoax where I call it the climate cult because it's a religion. This climate cult pressing for all these changes in the world, one of the things they are supporting is the emergence of this smart technology to save the world. It's extraordinary the levels to which they are incredibly uninformed of what they're playing a part in creating, which is their own prison and their children and grandchildren's prison even more. So get informed is number one, Bill. Yeah. Get informed. Yeah. Stop getting your information only from the mainstream and question. Because what Silicon Valley is doing, which is just another expression of the cult, they created the internet. I quote a man in my books called Dr. Richard Day, a big-time Rockefeller insider, who addressed a meeting of pediatricians in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania in 1969 and asked them to turn off recording equipment and not take notes. Why he did it, who knows, but I'm glad he did, because he was going to tell them how the world was going to change, because what he represented, what he was a gopher for, was going to change it. And what he said that night in great detail is extraordinary. He said in 1969, he described the internet. Now, the internet not supposed to have been invented since till the 1980s.
Yeah.
He was describing it exactly as it works now in 1969. Mm-hmm. Something else he said, we're going to make boys and girls the same. He said that in 1969. And a stream of others, in a book called Phantom Self, I quote him at great length, one section of the book. And it is extraordinary when you see what he said compared with what is happening now. How could I be so accurate in my books predicting what's happening now? How could he? How could Orwell? How could Aldous Huxley with Brave New World even back in 1932? Because this agenda for the world is not being made up by the day. It's a long-term blueprint or biorhythm chart for where humanity is being taken. And we need to get informed about that, because if we don't know the planned outcome, we'll never see the journey.
As always, David, it's been a real privilege to talk to you, and I'm delighted that you're actually coming down this way on Saturday, the 7th of November. You'll be live in Malaga. What will that be entailing, that show? It's not a quick one-hour chat, I'm sure.
No, I have been doing for decades 10-hour talks all day, but wow. now I'm doing 4-hour you know, with an interval, encapsulations of it. And, of course, it always moves on.
Yeah.
I've published a book recently called The Trigger, which exposes who really did 9/11. It weren't 19 Arab hijackers.
Mm.
And I've just finished another book, which is going to come out in the summer, on which this new tour will be based. And it's about solutions and how we can turn this around, as well as actually what there is to turn around. Because if we don't understand the problem, we'll never find a solution. So it's going to be a very powerful event. I'm taking it all around Europe. And that's going to be in Malaga on the 7th of November. Tickets at davidicke.com. I think they're already available.
Fantastic. David, a pleasure to talk to you, sir. Have fun on the Isle of Wight, and we'll speak again soon. I'll definitely see you on the 7th of November.
All right, mate.
Thank
Look
you.
Forward to it. See you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Andy and Anna here from your new favourite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.